Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. I'm all ready for some more explorations.
Oh, good.
The adventurers.
Yes, we are. No question about it. Well, tonight we have a wonderful subject, the second chakra, a repository of discordant, unreleased energies. And this is going to be a very interesting show.
Well, now, isn't that almost as big as the shadow?
I have to tell, this is where the shadow lurks, honey. And we're going to discuss the relationship between the second and fourth, which this is just fascinating to me. I see this stuff every day. And somebody sent me a thing, and we'll go into it in the show. And I actually found something in writing that really triggered me. And I thought, wow, you know, I've decided I'm out there so much, I don't... I may never write a book because I may never be able to actually put anything into words.
Well, we'll put all your radio shows in a big pile and make this amazing wisdom.
Oh, maybe that'll be it. Okay, tonight's dedication. And once again, I want to dedicate this to working our magic with the financial markets. And I have some really wonderful information to share with everybody tonight. Ronnie, you may have gotten these also, but I kind of piece this all together. Ronnie and I both know someone who's very much involved in the financial markets. And so tonight is about dreaming a future of price stability and price appreciation, which will interrupt what is now a very serious and very precarious situation, flowing into an economy that provides safety and security for everyone. So I'm going to read to you something that she sent, and this is really wonderful information. At the end of February, I attended the Interludes with Lazarus in Los Angeles, and I had the incredible opportunity to speak directly with Lazarus and express my concerns about the economy. My optimism for a brighter future and faith in my magic and the magic of others was beginning to falter with the endless stream of headlines regarding the credit markets, oil, and the dollar. Also, I'd been influenced by a very brilliant money manager whose well-researched and very negative predictions for these three arenas seemed to be unfolding before my very eyes. Lazarus responded by saying, "The predictions of this money manager and others who have dire financial forecasts would not take place. They spoke of an economy that would provide safety and security for all, and they encouraged me to use these forecasts as a barometer or a map of where to work our magic." Lazarus suggested to dream the dreamers awake. They said in the far reaches of these large banks and investment banks are dreamers who have solutions. They said to see them with thick lens glasses and all, and just really dream them awake. And I love this, so I really wanted to share this tonight. I think it's this is where we're going, people, is that we have got to, in terms of creating a new world, our approach to everything we do has got to now start coming from our magic. In a whole new way, we're creating new floors, we're creating a new world. I love this information. I thought it was wonderful. I wanted to share it with everybody tonight because, interestingly enough, I don't get the newspaper. Since my son has been visiting, the newspaper has come every day.
Now, do you read it? This is the question.
Yes, I have actually been reading it every morning. For the first time in many, 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 many years, probably 12 years, and to really get a grip on what's going on out there, what is being perceived out there. Of course, it's a Las Vegas newspaper, and Las Vegas considers itself its own country. It really is an illusion within an illusion. So, you know, the world news isn't real big in our newspaper, but but there's enough of it. And so I think, you know, that for everybody, you know, who may question that they have magic, I really encourage you to realize you're all magicians. There's no one listening tonight that isn't one. We've forgotten that we were one, and that each and every one of us are magicians. And this applies to everything in our lives, but we have to start also looking at our world and dreaming for our world. And this is a big one, because what happens in one place is impacting every place, just like what happens on Earth impacts the entire cosmos. So I thought it was a wonderful thing to share and a great dedication tonight. You know, certainly we've done this one before for the financial markets, but I love what Lazarus had to say about dreaming the dreamers awake. So let's talk about the second chakra.
There's a lot of money relationship there as well, isn't there?
There's everything in the second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie, for those of you who may not have tuned in before, we talk an awful lot about the work we do here, which is the power retrievals. And these are done through the chakras. And the second chakra has become a warehouse, a storehouse of lifetimes, experiences, information. It has expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded. And what used to be moving through the chakras to retrieve your power from an individual, which we still do, we are now finding that there are specific individuals, usually the ones that have been the biggest pain in the butt.
Gee, I think I better book an appointment. I got somebody in mind.
Yeah, really. Or not always. In your case, Veronica, your case, it was with Robert, who you really have not given your power away to, but the interesting thing is he was a perfect vehicle to do the very deep power retrievals and go out into cosmic lifetimes. So,
right.
And into very expanded realms. So it really depends on what direction you want to go.
And what each person is bringing up in you, right, or suppressing.
Absolutely.
Way the mirrors are jumping.
Yes, and not all of it is pretty. I think the frustration for so many people out there, because you've all done so much work, every one of you, is to encounter or still be carrying around relationships where you know, with all the work you've done, and I hear this all the time, Veronica, you probably do too,
mm-hmm.
I've already done that. Yes, you may have done that. However, when we look at you, there is still stuff there. And people get very defensive sometimes. They get very upset sometimes, especially if they're still manifesting physical maladies of any kind, which is a perfect indication that there's still unresolved stuff. If the emotional body's not healed, the physical body's going to be a mess. It's just the way it works.
And don't you think that we kind of spiral through different levels of the same thing, so sometimes an old issue will come up at a different level? Oh, I'm glad I'm funny.
Really, did you hear the bell ring behind you? Because
yeah.
I sure did. With this eclipse that we've been through and the different kind of planetary alignments that we've been through, especially this last eclipse, it's in our faces, everybody. If there is stuff that's unresolved, it's back up one more time. And it's coming at us in ways that are extraordinary. And I've had situations in this last week where things have happened to people where literally the team has hung my phone up in mid-sentence and not allowed me to continue a conversation.
In the middle of a session?
In the middle of a sentence. Not a session, where somebody called in great distress, and I thought they hung up on me, they thought I hung up on them. Neither one of us hung up on each other. But it was a situation that occurred where it was an opportunity for them to go back into a whole new level of healing on a very deep emotional experience. They didn't relate what was happening in the moment to this other experience, but that all came together, you know, within about 24 hours. So I'm seeing this everywhere that, you know, yes, Veronica, you're absolutely right that we're going back to deeper levels and layers sometimes of the same situation. I certainly am experiencing it in my own life,
mm-hmm.
and I can definitely speak for me.
And if we think about past lives and other lives and future lives, there is a certain overlay anyway, so it's not like it's just of this life anyhow.
Well, there's a total overlay, and because all things are really simultaneous, including every lifetime, every experience, all happening in the same now moment, just viewed from different perspectives, there's a reverberation that goes out that it's like a tone or a frequency that's going out, and you're in that tone, that frequency, that stream. So I'm going to, this is what triggered all this. I was really kind of excited. Now, I sometimes I'll quote, you know, from something I've received. Please understand it's not necessarily an endorsement, but I always say to people, you know, if you're going to go there and read the information, use your own discernment, please. This, of course, came from Squirrel, who is my filter, because no matter what I sign up for, it will not come through on my computer. The team has a thing about I'm only allowed to do work. So Squirrel has been my filter, who I adore. This is from Lisa Renee, and I got this from two different people, interestingly enough. Her website, energeticsynthesis.com. You may have to get out your dictionary to spell that, by the way. Energeticsynthesis.com. I'm just going to read a small portion of this. It's about four pages long, so this is just like a paragraph. She's talking about the astral project that's going on. Was a task force brought on to intercept and create a smoother transition for us with what is coming this year. It was becoming clear that as the immense energetic force began to exchange from the galactic core into the astral plane layers, that mass bedlam and destruction was possible. As the astral is getting reconfigured, this means our astral bodies will also get upgrades and go through changes. It's been described that one of the purposes is healing the split in our emotional body that created a schism between the second and fourth chakra systems. Now, this jumped off the page at me. In our human holographic template, the second chakra became a repository, hence the title, of discordant, unreleased energies that were unexpressed, suppressed in the emotional body of the human being. This began to damage the emotional body of the human being and impairing or damaging the genetic integrity. These discordant creations became built up into larger negative fields and were deposited into the astral planes. This buildup of accumulated distortions from the human's lower emotions were then harnessed into larger fields of energetics, which they call nets. These nets are the structures that were used to create the frequency fences and false matrices in the human's perception of reality in 3D. Further, these reality perceptions could be influenced or shaped by holographic projections sourcing from the astral. Now, she refers to the controllers here, and I hate to ever get into this dark light stuff, but I am going to just quote this sentence. The controllers were very adept at using this technology of holographic insert projected from the astral plane to influence group human behavior. Now, that's heavy duty, and again, I always say to people, if you want my notes, just email me and I'll send the notes. They're fairly cryptic, but if I quote something, it's always in here. It's a good explanation, but there's more to this, of course. What we're finding in the second chakra and how does this relate to the fourth, okay? And I want to say this to everybody because we've all got it. Everybody on this path has a messy second chakra. I don't give a damn who you are.
Messy, huh?
Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it's all there. It's pretty amazing. In my work, just about everybody starts burping and roiling in that area right away.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Me too. It's And so no matter how many times we clear this mess up, it's back. And so the question is why, you know. And because there is layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. This is where all your lifetimes are sitting. And during the power retrievals, when all this began, I was totally fascinated. For some of you who've heard this before, sorry for boring you. On the back side of the sacral center is an opening. And when they originally did this with the chakra activations, they called it a Metatronic channel. And it's big, and it's above the buttocks crack, and it's a great big opening that they opened when we would do the chakra activations. And when we're doing the power retrievals, I'm in channel, so the team will literally call up all of the contracts, entwinements, and weavings up out of this center, and they literally emerge like this ball, if you will. And under the ball is all of this, these tentacles woven into all of these other things, which from my perspective as the observer, I can only say are other lifetimes and people, and because we tend to incarnate together, you know, many times, regardless of what planet we're on. And so, but it's still second chakra. It's just a different entry point. You know, you could say, well, this is where karma sits. And I would say, yeah, that's a pretty good explanation. I would say, yeah, okay, I'll go with that. But we now have an option here to start clearing these. And, you know, when we first started doing these, it scared the hell out of me because I thought, How do we have the right to do this? And I guess, you know, for all of you listening, very simply, I would say none of you are from here. Of course, nobody really is. But, you know, you came in to help, to be a bridge for the ascension process, every one of you. And we needed to accelerate the lifting because people were getting too bogged down. We just couldn't get there in time, and that's the way I look at it. And I know through your work, Ronnie, you feel the same way, that that's what you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Raising the perspective and the point of view a lot of times.
Absolutely. And healing and lifting these big chunks that are sitting there, some that we would understand, sometimes we may not understand. And I'll go into it from another perspective with a deeper level power retrieval, okay? You know, let's say you do a power retrieval with an individual, okay? Mom, dad, brother, sister, you know, lover, husband, wife, whatever. And the first time around, you're going to do it, we'll do it with you, right? It's not that it's not deep, but it's not as deep as going into the very deep power retrieval, which then starts traveling through other lifetimes, and you know that person becomes in a way a surrogate because you're not only working with them but you're working with other soul aspects of them. There have been times, many times, and we started running into this where some of these people have been guides for you in other lifetimes, especially in the cosmos, and you've been guides for them. So we don't always recognize how deep a relationship can go. And it may not be one. It may be somebody you consider that's been a real pain in the butt in this lifetime. You know?
Mm-hmm. Or somebody who seems to be just in passing but somehow activates you.
Right. And it's interesting because I've had people who have sensed that they needed to do a power retrieval with someone. And, you know, it didn't look to be that deep. It may have been a short-term relationship. And we get in there and, oh, my gosh, it can go on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, somebody that they kind of bumped into in this lifetime that was kind of a pain in the butt turned out to be somebody who they have a huge history with. No surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always say there are no small relationships in this lifetime. They're all huge.
Mm-hmm. But regarding permission, it is sort of the name of the game, isn't it, for us to extricate ourselves from all kinds of situations? Isn't that kind of part of the big labyrinth we're in anyway? So, you know, I'm thinking back to you saying about wondering if we have the right to do the
power. Well, I was wondering if we, you know, in terms of doing it, when we first started doing this, it kind of scared me.
Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was like, oh my God. You know, I mean,
But it is a huge quantum leap when you, that's sort of redundant, but when you think that you can actually move past these instead of living out whatever the drama is between all these people.
We don't have time to live out the drama anymore.
I know.
I mean, I think at this point, any tool that we have, and I know, absolutely unequivocally know that when we do these, everybody is involved because every single person prior to their session, all kinds of stuff is happening to them prior to the session. You could feel everything building up before the session, setting up to really move them through in a really big way. So, you know, this is not small stuff, and it certainly isn't, you know, me or the team. I mean, it seems to be working so well, more and more seem to be on board in terms of in directing people into this so that they can move through it. They can get undone, unfettered, unhooked. Kinds of things that we're finding, and you know, I want to talk about a couple of these because it just kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about. We did one the other day, and it was just so fascinating. And this is somebody with a relative who's been a real problem for them in this lifetime, and they're not a blood relative, interestingly enough, but they certainly have had tremendous influence on this person's relationships with everyone, their relationship with money, their relationship with men, their relationship with themselves. I mean, it's just everything, okay? And we were doing, we were in the second chakra and going, I believe it was second chakra, and we were going to, through the cosmos, and she kept saying, I'm so tiny, I'm just so tiny, but I'm really huge. And she kept saying, I'm really, really teeny, but I'm really, really huge. And it took her a while to kind of acclimate to find out who and what she was. And she could see this other person, and in this lifetime they were still very disturbed, and they were the leader of a big, but it was on another planet. She could describe the planet. And finally she realized that she was a guide to this person.
Hmm.
Then we went on, cleared that one, went on to another lifetime. And once again, she was also a guide in that lifetime. And we were fascinated how far, I mean, this boggled her mind that her relationship with him went back millions and millions and millions of years, as opposed to, you know, when we're working with just human lifetimes, yeah, you know, a couple of thousand years, you know. So we've started expanding, and what I'm finding fascinating is that to be able to heal these other lifetimes, and because, of course, what we're seeing as well is that people, which I'm finding very interesting with some of the people, and I'm sure you've run into this stuff, we've had a lot of people who are really having the memories of the destruction of Maldek's surface,
mm-hmm.
which is a planet that imploded. And, you know, for so long we've dealt with what happened in Atlantis, the destruction of Atlantis and how we all carry the shame and the sorrow of that, and, you know, that we've all come back to make sure it didn't happen again on Earth, that this is certainly the most aligned time, you know, in terms of technology and everything else. abuses of power with what happened in Atlantis. But now we've got people who are relating it to Maldek and the destruction of Maldek. And so people are awakening and feeling this emotionally. They're still carrying this in the second chakra. And I'm fascinated. Of course, then it goes into the other chakras as well. But so these energies, you know, and this is why I say her quote about just the earth, it goes beyond that.
Tell me this one. It was Maldek when it imploded. Didn't the people or the inhabitants, were they people, have a deep kind of emotional shame kind of thing as well?
Well, I've been there. And I was, it was a spontaneous thing. I was working with a client, and this happened to be somebody we just used to travel together. He was very unique. And during the sessions, we would just travel, and I wasn't in channel at that time. It was when I was doing sessions differently. And we would just go to Arcturus, or we would go just wherever, okay, during the session.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know what Maldek was at the time. And all of a sudden, we're on this planet, it's getting ready to implode, and we're all locked in consciousness. We're all connected. And the pain was excruciating. Mm-hmm. It was beyond anything, certainly nothing I could explain in human terms.
Mm-hmm.
Could not explain it in human terms, because there's no comparison. We don't have anything for it. And we were popped off the planet before it imploded, just at that moment, popped off.
I mean, you released out of your body.
I'm sorry?
You released out of your body.
We literally were popped. I mean, because we were traveling together, and we were on Mount, and then all, and he was far more detached than I was. I was very, because I tend to operate out of the heart chakra anyway, emotionally, I was hugely connected to this. And then we just popped off before it imploded. Now, you know, whether we were in body, I couldn't say if we were in body.
I was jumping to the fact that when it imploded, if you had been there originally, what whether people did just pop out of their bodies.
Oh, I really don't know,
yeah.
Veronica. I know that after that experience, my response was, and again, this is just a human response, I thought Atlantis was nothing compared to that in terms of comparison. Now, I hate to ever go there, but just the by virtue of a total, complete destruction. And the loss of a planet then spreads out and impacts everything in its path, including other planets. There were other planets that were impacted by that. And that's the reason that the ETs, and I don't like to use them, but our star friends, are going to make certain that Earth does not get destroyed, because the impact of Earth being destroyed would have devastating impact on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to happen this time. I can tell you that one for sure.
That's good.
Because it's just too big. But what I'm seeing is that, in essence, and this is your word, Veronica, I always credit you with this one, is that the second chakra is the key to the cellular journey.
And that makes incredible sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to follow the soul's journey, it seems to be right through that second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does the second chakra relate to the fourth chakra? Well, if we're carrying all these discordant energies in the second chakra at the soul level, and the soul can get damaged. You know, this is something people don't seem to realize, that there can be damage to the soul from some of the stupid stuff we've done.
And so what would that look like? I mean, because, you know, my first reaction is it's almost over. I can't even worry about that because I don't even know how to access it, how to raid it, how to band-aid it, how to, you know.
What, soul damage?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I did soul damage in this lifetime. This is the only way I can describe it to you. Okay? I actually did some soul damage in this lifetime. and it took me actually dying. Okay, I think that it was so deep that there was really no choice. I think that's why I was gone for so long. I got really hooked into the planetary stuff to the point where I really lost. I got lost, and this can happen to humans. We can get, you know, we all came here with great ideas about what we were going to do in this lifetime and in others. And, you know, we have other cosmic lifetimes going on right now. We have the capacity in a cosmic lifetime to split ourselves off and incarnate in the physical on Earth and still be able to continue on with a cosmic lifetime and just split off a piece that can go have a human experience. It's not easy to do, but it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us came in to help others that we felt got stuck. I took on so much in this lifetime, and believe me, I'm not whining here. I just had a very big plan. When I'm done here, somebody's going to get smacked.
Who agreed with your plan?
That's what I'm talking about. I must have had advisors. I don't know who the hell, what the hell they were thinking. I'm not blaming anybody on this. It just makes me giggle. But I got hooked in very deeply on the emotional level. To the point, and I think it was a buildup of damage upon damage upon damage, and it got so deep that I saw no hope. I literally really believed my life was over. I couldn't write anything else for the lifetime, and I've done a lot of writing in between the lines. I couldn't write anything else. I was done, and I really planned my death. I wasn't going to kill myself or anything. I just literally started giving everything away, and I knew I was dying, and that was it, and I died. I was gone for about 2.5 hours. I watched myself die. When I came back, it took me 3 years to reintegrate in. And I really believe that that's because there was so much soul damage at that juncture. It took that long for it really to heal. Mm. That's my own interpretation. That's the closest I can come to it.
And the soul damage came from just going through so many devastating experiences and losing your rudder or losing your...
I think I lost hope. This came about with a connection with somebody that had a very strong, you know this one because you've looked at it, a very strong soul connection with, and it just was so devastating. It was just kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was just, I was done. I was just done. And I actually physically did. I mean, I created an illness that was good enough to take me out, and I was ready to go. I'm real good at that. You know, we are magicians. You know,
I'm out of here, bump.
Huh?
I'm out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. That's I want to talk about the heart chakra and what. Our capacity to receive love and to give love, and how until we can clear out a lot of this second chakra stuff, we really can't even imagine what real love is. They've been driving this home now for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I really agree with that.
I'll explain it this way. In the last probably 2 weeks, week and a half, I'm not sure. I have no track of time. They started coming in at the end of the session, and this is with people, you know, that have been doing the work with us and working on these power retrievals, clearing out these second chakras, and touching them in an incredible way. And the energies do come through me, and I can tell you that I pretty much I've been walking into walls a lot because the amount of love that comes through is so incredible. and so beautiful that it started out with I'd be bawling at the end of every session. It just was like, oh my God, you don't even know what to do with that kind of love. There's no way to describe it. And I know that each person experienced it differently. Some people were just like, kind of blissed out for days, and depending on how much they were able to allow in, how much they were able to allow in. It wasn't that what was coming through was any more or less for anyone. It was only a matter of how much they could allow in, because love is something that if we're not, at least in the process of healing, we can't allow it in. It's too much, too big.
Or don't you think it's like an ever-increasing capacity? Like,
oh.
Because my guides will say, we're still just learning it here, even though their expansion is so much farther than ours, They just say it's an absolute ongoing evolutionary expansion.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm struggling with this one because physically it's blowing open my heart chakra, not the front. The back of my heart chakra is so sensitive right now that it feels it's huge and it's hot and it's sensitive. And it's like if anybody were to touch my back, I'd probably jump right out of my skin.
Hmm.
And they couldn't open it on the front for whatever reason, so they're opening it on the back. Now, I've always opened my heart chakra has always come out my back. I don't have no idea why. But it's huge right now, and it's getting bigger, and it's like I don't even know what to do with it. I can barely lean back on stuff. It's so sensitive. So I've had to kind of, at the end of the day, the end of sessions, if they've done this with each session, I'm blissed out. I had to go to dinner with a client last night, and I think God, my son was here. I couldn't even talk. All I remember ordering was chocolate.
Keep that love flowing.
Oh, unbelievable. But this is the heart chakra, the love connection, and we can't really get to it until we start clearing this stuff out. Not to the levels, and the more levels we can get to, we think that we're loving. And I've come to the conclusion that after feeling this, we don't even know what the hell love is. I mean, it's so conditional on this planet. So the other thing that I'm seeing is the themes of our lifetimes. And I don't know, Ronnie, if you've run into this, but through the second chakra, I'm seeing all this stuff. I mean, people who got hooked into the whole religious structure way back when, and over and over, and they're still playing it out in this lifetime for the opportunity to finally heal it.
Mm-hmm.
We just had one today, and it was fascinating to me that these same people who've played out in lifetime after lifetime after lifetime in religious settings, having controlled them, killed them, this, that, and the other thing, once again, playing the roles in this lifetime one more time so it can finally be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa. I look at this. How did we get stuck? And there are so many people that got stuck, especially in this whole chain of religion.
I always see themes as well, and I kind of agree that we have the themes that we seem to follow lifetime after lifetime.
Right.
I think that's pretty, standard, isn't it?
I do, but, I'm going to go back to what she said here about, this is Lisa Renee, these holographic inserts projected from the astral plane. If anything has gotten distorted, okay, it's been religion. If anything has kept us limited in our understanding of who we are, in our ability to claim and use our magic, because we got killed for it every time we did, all right, it has been religion. I would say if there's any single thing on the planet that has kept us enslaved and in bondage, it's been religion. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would really agree. Mm-hmm. It's all about power and control rather than God, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're not talking about God and Goddess, and we're not talking even about, you know, the Master Christ that walked this planet and the wonderful things he did, because the things he did, the truth of what he did was hidden anyway. Still, most of it is. But we got stuck with this religious stuff, and then we got, you know, the burning years, which we've talked about so many different times. This isn't the only time, but certainly one of the most powerful times on the planet that really set in, anchored into the collective, this huge abuse of religion and power, doctors, the whole distortion of the God projection. There have been other, you know, pivotal times on our planet, but that, I would say, the fall of Atlantis, you know, these are things that are really sitting in, you know, they're part of the collective. And I also believe that as we work in the second chakra, and they certainly have told me this, we're having this huge impact on shifting the collective, much bigger than we would under normal circumstances. So rather than doing kind of a one-on-one thing, we're doing each person that's doing this work, from what we perceive, is that they are being a surrogate in a way for many. I could go on with some of the other things we're seeing in terms of, and you had this experience, Veronica, mm-hmm. that we are a chalice, a housing for many different beings, not just the one that we are currently focused on, which happens to be, you know, Veronica and Jackie, you know, that we're carrying other beings in us. And that's a whole other subject that I would never get into tonight. We will be doing an intensive on this one to help connect us with some of this. But and just as an aside, I drove over Saturday to the UFO Congress because I wanted to pick up...
Oh, you
up,
did go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up a DVD from... Because I knew Dolores Cannon was going to be speaking there. And, of course, I got to spend time with Julia, her daughter, and Marilee, another friend of mine. I walked in, and they were like, we've been sending, you know, sending it through the ethers. We're glad you showed up. And so I started explaining to them, to the two of them, what we were doing with the power retrievals and how it worked in the Sacral Center. And once again, Julia said, Jackie, it's in the book. She said, this is Mom's new book. She said, this is the second time, this happened 2 years ago as well, that what we're doing, she's hearing from clients when they're regressed, the ETs are speaking through the clients, and we're getting it directly and doing it in session. Mm. And I think it's fascinating that there is this overlay of information the second time this has happened. So, and I would definitely recommend Dolores' book, Convoluted Universe 3, is now out. Gee, if you get a chance, order it. Wonderful, wonderful book. I picked that up while I was there. But also Dolores' I haven't, you know, read the whole book yet. I'm just kind of piecemealing it, so I'm looking for the places where they're getting the same information. You know, we talked about the person that who can be certainly the one that is the greatest trial for us in this lifetime, who we may perceive as an enemy or somebody that's really hurtful, you know, can in fact be playing a role for us. To bring us to, force us to heal lifetime after lifetime after lifetime of these themed issues, which is what we were just talking about.
I mean, healing meaning stepping out of limitations that have come from reactive experience.
Well, if they were part of, okay, we may be saying the same thing. If they've been part of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime where we have had and played out these same things, and they've come in this lifetime in a very intense role, let's say, forcing us one more time, especially in this lifetime, to go in and finally heal and deal with the theme that we've been running all these other lifetimes. And rather than them being an enemy, I see them as really being a friend, you know, a true guide who's come in and agreed to play the role to force us, I think, to have to deal with it. Made our lives so damned uncomfortable that we really didn't have a choice. Have you run into that, Veronica?
I have. I think I would have said it differently, but I think I do
understand. Well, say it your way.
Well, I'm just thinking that sometimes people who are consistently in your life and very, very judgmental are pushing at you and sometimes make you collapse, are making you stronger on your own journey, making you step out of that which has conscripted maybe family or whatever, you know. They're pushing so hard that you have to either do that or just give up and die.
Okay, and I would totally agree with what you just said. I don't think we're saying dissimilar things. I think they're a little different. But mm-hmm. I agree with what you just said, that they do force us through their behavior to, in a perfect case in point, let's say, is to take our power,
mm-hmm.
where it may be somebody who is overpowering, who is very controlling, who forces us into a corner, who, you know, we want to go screaming into the night because we feel so dominated.
And it could be a child even, you know.
Yes, it could.
But
sorry,
it doesn't
everyone.
Always have to be family of origin, but sometimes it is, isn't it?
Oftentimes it can be family of origin. Oftentimes it can be someone we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I know in this lifetime, I really wanted to work with understanding dark and light and understanding the proper use of power and the misuse of power. So I've had some very interesting people in my life that had, obviously I've had some interesting lifetimes with, where I got to be on the receiving end of the dominance, control, and so on and so forth, and the abuses of power. So it's been really fascinating. I mean, you know, have I come to Claire? I have one, as you know, that I'm still with. I just decided to raise my resonance. That was all I could do.
Oh, but hey, isn't that the solution? Change the energy, change the reality.
Well, I finally came to the conclusion that the only way to deal with this particular situation was to raise the energy to the point where I wouldn't be visible any longer,
mm-hmm.
where they absolutely, no matter what they did, could not connect. Because their resonance and frequency would not match. In other words, if I walked down the street, they walked by me, they simply wouldn't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I actually came to the conclusion that that's the only way to deal with that one. And it somehow took me out of all the rest of it, and I feel really comfortable with it.
So you don't have to spend your time in the drama and hooking from the drama.
No, absolutely not. I finally was just over it. Mm-hmm. And I just said, there's got to be a different way. And my son and I talked about this, and it finally was just, you know, the resonance doesn't match. Took back our power and said enough, and, you know.
Onward and upward.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about, this is something I thought was really important. Going back to this, the distortions in the second chakra that keep you from being able to send real unconditional love, there's a new book out. It's called The Intention Experiment, Using Your Thoughts to Change Your Life and the World, by Lynn McTaggart. Now, Lynn McTaggart was on What the Bleep, in the movie What the Bleep. Lynn's a brilliant scientist. And
she's actually a reporter, an investigative reporter.
She's not a scientist?
No, but she studies so much that she's very scientific.
Well, she is, you know, this, just the stuff I've read so far is just fascinating. So out of there, this was a quote from Rolling. A recent article in Rolling Stone magazine mentioned that well-intentioned, heartfelt prayer might inadvertently harm or kill patients. An article that no doubt deflated the beliefs and hopes of some people, not to mention seeming to contradict the many studies.
Oh, heavens.
Showing the efficacy of prayer. With uncanny presence, McTaggart addresses this study in depth, concluding, and she must be in a reporter, When we are consciously attempting to affect someone else with our thoughts, we may want to search our hearts about our true feelings to ensure that we're not sending tainted love.
Hmm.
And I thought this was absolutely fascinating, and it took me back to this whole concept of healing and the second chakra, so that we, and I don't know about you, Veronica, but I have I love everybody, but I'm always really careful about people sending energy for the simple reason that until we have cleared up a lot of stuff, that's why I don't get massages. I don't do anything.
Well, it's like everything we say, every word has got a whole stream of energy with it that comes from every level of our consciousness, doesn't it?
Absolutely does. Mm-hmm. And if we're praying for someone, and this is, you know, Lazarus used to talk about this, that when you're programming, that you're going to get what you want, not necessarily what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the what I see as the distortion within us as humans, which is why we don't all have everything we think we want, that we haven't been able to get through those distortions, which is sitting in the second chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, when we're sending love to people, and I've been looking at this one a lot, how unconditional is love? And unless I can be in a total place of neutrality, I know for my work I have to be, in a place of total neutrality and unconditional love, I can't work on somebody. I absolutely can't do it. And I've tested even the day after Millie, my wonderful dog, for those of you that don't know, the love of my life, after she died, I worked the next day. And I, in a way, tested myself that I have to be able to, no matter what's going on in my own life, be able to step up and be totally unconditional and neutral.
Very healing.
What's very healing?
To have to do that, to have to move into that space rather than be stuck in your emotional world.
And then I had to look at it also and say, well, am I in denial or disassociating? And I wasn't doing either. I really worked with that one, but thank you for acknowledging that, Veronica. It's not about stuffing and it's not about disassociating. It's about being able to bring it to a whole higher level to where I can still experience her and love her, which I do every day, but be able to show up. I mean, for whatever reason, this is something that pushes me that I have to show up, that that's really important. And I think we all know that we all have to show up for our planet, you know, for our families, for ourselves, for our own soul growth. Our planet's counting on us right now. So
I often remember that we can call in the love, too. So if someone's sending and they're really worried about whether or not they're attaching to their subconscious or their karma or whatever, I find that calling in the love and knowing it's not like I've actually done sessions on people that I can't stand and absolutely love them all the way through the session. Have you ever experienced
yes.
that?
Yes.
And I know it isn't the me. It's coming through.
It's that higher level. Absolutely. That's when you become the total vehicle of love.
Yeah.
Where you can step aside the ego.
It's kind of humbling. I just go, thanks for the experience of what it's really like, you know. Or what it begins to be really like when we expand.
That is that piece of unconditional love, Veronica, and that's what we all, we need to be able to bring that to everything that's going on the planet. That's, ultimately, that's where we need to be. This is, you know, a great part of this whole subject tonight because it's the absolute truth. When we can move to that level, no matter what we see anyone else doing, and love them unconditionally. Because all that is, the infinite, became nothing so that it could become everything, light and dark. I mean, it's all God, and or all God, Goddess, all that is. when we know that ultimately, regardless of what people are doing, and this is the ultimate test for all of us, when we see people doing horrendous things, be it to animals, to other people, to the planet, whatever, and still be able to love them unconditionally. We may not like what they're doing, okay? And we have to watch our judgments, because what we judge, we're going to attract more of. But be able to go to that point of neutrality, sending them, flooding them with that love, that unconditional love, that unconditional love. We can't change it with our anger and our judgment. Can't get there. And that's second chakra stuff. Especially when we're pulling in from that whole religious stuff. And what are the themes have you run into, Veronica?
Well, the religious one, and sometimes it's simply the expression of feminine power or something that you see coming through. Those are some basic examples. Separations. I can't think of any offhand.
No, those are all good ones.
Yeah.
Yes, and I have also run into a lot of. But I think also, and I want to throw this out there, because for some of you who may not have been on the planet very much, you may have taken on imprints of certain lifetimes in order to carry that theme out in this lifetime to work with it in a very big way. So there may be some of you who've never been on this planet before who have all of this, who've gone to the Rolodex, have access, you think, to all of these lifetimes, are carrying this stuff in you, when in fact you may not have lived it. But as soon as you take on the imprint, you've got the emotions.
Mm. I just remembered the other day I had somebody who had this terrific theme of betrayal through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Uh-huh.
And it was something she's really working on, very consciously now, but I went, oh, God, that one's not mine. I don't think it is anyway. One of them maybe, huh? But it was really big, you know.
Okay, and have you been able to go out into the cosmic lifetimes to see if it originated out there, which is what it feels like?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did it?
Yes. Yeah. It certainly did. But,
but
it was helpful also to be able to see it and pinpoint it, you know.
Beautiful.
For her, too.
Now, Veronica, I know you're doing some exciting shows. We only have a couple of minutes here if you want to tell who you've got on this week.
Yeah, and John Gray's coming up, and I just interviewed Lynn McTaggart.
Oh, fabulous. No wonder you knew her.
On the intention experiment. But John Gray, with his latest book on getting along, men and women, and he's got a whole bunch of hormonal research and, I don't know, all kinds of things. I haven't received the book yet, but he'll be on Tuesday on BBS Radio at 5 p.m., and it should be really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
4 p.m. is my own show, Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show, and it should be fun as well.
You're doing some great interviews. How exciting.
Oh, I'm on a learning curve, aren't I?
You're doing fabulous, Veronica.
Thanks, Jackie. I'm really having fun with it.
And your website
is veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle.
All right, everyone. And ours, of course, ethealing.com. We love you all. A piece of each and every one of you is in Veronica and I. And a piece of Veronica and I are in each and every one of you. We love you very, very much. We thank you for tuning in. Veronica, I'm so excited about the work you're doing. I think it's absolutely fabulous.
Thank you. I want you on the show, Jackie.
Yes, I know. We do have to do that.
We have to talk to the team. They'll want to come on, I'm sure.
Oh, they absolutely do, and they're just getting to have so much fun. They would love to do it. We
have
to figure out how. We may have to pre-record it.
Well, we'll let you all know when it's time for Jackie and the team to come on.
Okay. Love you, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget to work your magic. Good night, Ronnie.
Good night. Many
blessings. Love you, honey.